is my favorite time of the week. Oh, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Pretty Spectacular Football Show. I almost said locker talk because I'm used to sitting here doing locker talk. Well, welcome back to the Pretty Spectacular Football Show, where, of course, you get to see my pretty face, Pretty Gordas, and you get to see his not maybe so pretty face, Dr. Spec, but he is so spectacular in everything that he does. And we're going to be talking about Super Bowl honors, all those things. But at first, we got to kick it off. As we talked about last show, we were talking about the Black Monday. So now, of course, we got to kick it off with the NFL coaching news because the coaches are still getting themselves together. So I think that the Chargers hiring Harbaugh, I just feel like the Harbaugh thing was coming for a long time, in my opinion. Like, what you think about this? Tell me what you feel. Like, I don't
know. I'm crazy excited about Harbaugh coming in, right? Having to come into a team that has a ton of talent. Him coming into a team with a ton of talent, coming fresh off of winning the national championship in college football, coming right into, Justin Herbert as your quarterback. You got weapons on the outside. Now, who knows if they're going to lose some of those weapons? They could lose some of those weapons in free agency. But if you don't, then you have almost a ready-made situation, right? That Chargers team has been on the precipice they've been right on the edge of really doing something special. So I'm really waiting to see what Harbaugh can do. If you look at his track record, he's really been, great everywhere he's gone, right? You saw what happened with Michigan. They just won a championship. But before, when he was with the 49ers, he's the one who's responsible for bringing up Alex Smith and making sure he was great. Then Kaepernick, people can say what they want about Kaepernick, but him and Kaepernick went to a Super Bowl, all right? And they were on their way to victory before them lights went off. So if you, I don't know if you remember that Super Bowl.
Turn the lights on.
But Harbaugh has been great everywhere he's gone, and I'm fully expecting him to go into that Chargers team and do what the last coach just couldn't do, man, and turn them into a winner. And it may take about a year or so, but, hey, he took the best situation with the best quarterback ready to go. So I love that for Harbaugh.
Well, technically, according to like the analysts and everything, the quote unquote best roster going into a team that has an available coach was the Seattle Seahawks with all of their major weapons that they have over there. So again, that's a matter of opinion, but that's literally what was going on, because I was going to talk about it on Locker Talk and I just changed my mind because it was just too many teams that needed head coaches and I had too much to say. But I feel as though like, it just was kind of weird for me to be like, nobody has it better than me or whatever he'd be saying, go blue. I mean, it's still go blue, but just now it's like baby blue. Charging.
Yo, give me your thoughts, though. Do you really feel like that Seattle job was better than the Chargers job?
I mean, they do have a really amazing roster over there, too. They have some great picks from Jackson, right. DK. There's so many over there. But their issue is that they don't have
Walker in the backfield.
They have a lot of weapons. So they said that arguably they do have the best roster for a coach to come into, but their downfall was their cap space. Like they don't have no money for cap space. They're going to have to let some people go. But I do want to say a team that does have a lot of cap space, and we're about to talk about one of the head coaches that he just got hired over there, was Morris. It's Raheem Morris, right? Just got hired with the Falcons. Gino.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that kind of takes me a little bit back is the Gino thing, right? I'm looking at Gino, and I don't have a problem with Gino. I think Gino's a great quarterback, but
I don't think
he might not be the one. And I like that you brought that in because he may not be the one.
Yeah, he might be a one. He ain't
double. Yo, voice, do me a favor, bro. I know you're there. Take this link, drop it in our group, man. Let them know that we live, bro.
Get some eyeballs on this screen. But so Raheem Morris, I'm just excited because it's another AA coach. I'm excited about that. I don't really know much about him. I look forward to getting to know about him. But what I feel is though, he gonna cause a problem, which Arthur Smith did not do, was for your Saints. And I'm just saying that. I would love to hear what you said about that, though.
So Now, this is funny because I'm on Twitter, right? And on Twitter, there's this guy. He calls himself Trizzy Trace, right? Yeah, Trizzy Trace. I am calling them out because I made a video. It's on YouTube if you go check out our shorts. But he started off his video just overly excited about this hire. He's a Saints fan, but he started his video overly excited about this hire. He was like, you could have had Bill Belichick. You could have had anybody. And you, Slowick, right? Slowick was out there at the time. And he was like, you could have had anybody. And you go get Raheem Morris. Oh, God, right? But what he fails to realize is this is not the same Raheem Morris who had a failing with the Buccaneers, right? In those 3 years when he was with the Bucs. This ain't that same dude. This is a Raheem Morris who's taken his time, went from, you know, that failure with the Bucs, but went to the Falcons, had some time there and did pretty well, went over to where did he come with the Rams, right? And now he's coming from their Rams system where he also had unexpected success with less talent. And he did really, really well. And now after all that, like, he had failure, but now he's had some success and now he's coming back and now he's ready to go. I feel like if you look at Pete Carroll didn't do well his first time in the NFL. A lot of coaches may not do well their first time in the NFL, but Raheem Morris, I believe in him. And who I really believe in is that offensive coordinator he'll be bringing over, and Zach Robinson, who was a hot, hot, offensive coordinator hire on the market. A lot of people wanted him, but, you know, he's had some time with, he's from that McVay tree. I feel like Zach's going to do well.
Okay, so I mean,
I'm scared.
All right, I'm gonna let you go with that then. I'm gonna let you go. You said you were scared. I mean, again, I'm excited because he's African American. It is crazy because they did interview Belichick, and from my understanding, Harbaugh as well. But Harbaugh knew, like, he knew if he got an offer from the Chargers, that's where he was going. Like, he didn't want to be any other place but the Chargers because he came from there. That makes sense to me. I really don't, like I said, I really don't know that much about him, so I guess I'm gonna find out. But is there anybody else on this roster list that we were excited about for the coaches? I mean, because we talked about Black Monday. I mean, the Commanders still don't have a coach.
Yeah, they do now. And this is cool. The Commanders have a coach now. Dan Quinn is their coach. The defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys is now the head coach of the Commanders. So shout out to him. Dan Quinn made his bones, with the Legion of Boom at Seattle. Went from there. Run that poll, Rick.
Honestly, though, do I?
Crispy, I can't run it from where I am right now. Dang, I wish I. You know I what? The voice like... probably run that poll. That's a good thing. But yeah, I love Dan Quinn. And when I look at what's going on with Dan Quinn, I'm excited about him getting another opportunity, right?
I get that, but I just feel like the Commanders had a lot that Legion of Disappointment. I just feel like, though, I guess they want their team to be more defensive heavy, kind of like the Cowboys are. But I feel like they struggled too much on offense. They should have looked into a more offensive hire. But again, that's just my opinion. But I don't want to talk about it no more because I'm ready to go off the topic anyway. We're going to see if he succeeds or doesn't. A lot of offensive coordinators do make good head coaches. We don't know how many really good defensive coordinators make head coaches. And I guess we will find out. Yeah. But what I will say, what we already know, though, is about our sponsor, the Ozell brand, because it is not just a brand, it is a lifestyle, and we always got to give a shout out to our sponsors. So let's go ahead and give them a quick shout out before we move on to our next topic.
It's not just about the love of the game, it's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace and knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
Are you remixing it?
But we're moving on to talk about the biggest topic of the week. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, five, whoever. Was NFL Super Bowl 58. And I gotta talk about real quick. Let me have to set up a little shebang with my little shirt. Y'all see my little Super Bowl shirt? Yeah, I got mine when I was in Arizona. So cute. Y'all see that little this little thing was so cute. I feel like the little glitty. Do I got something in the back? Oh, I got on that side too, and I got Super Bowl on the back. Yeah,
you know,
okay.
You know what's so funny about this? It looks like I'm looking right at you and I can see exactly what you're wearing, but I cannot because you're over here. And the camera's here, so I can't see exactly what's going on.
Y'all think my shirt is cute? I know it's cute, so I really don't need you to tell me. But you know, y'all know I'm all about my fashion. But last year I went to the Super Bowl, and I just felt like I had to get some type of memorabilia. I also got me a little.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, cap. I can see it now.
I got me a little fitted cap. So I love my gear, and I can't wait to get my Usher gear when I go this year. How do you like the okay. bag out? When I go there, we're getting a little Usher gear, but you know, I mean, that we should have had Rihanna gear, but I'm not even going to talk about that. I'm not even going to get into that. I'm leaving for Locker Talk as you told me to do, because you was hating on me. But it's cool. But
whatever.
We really could have had Lions.
Yeah. So Chris just said like we really could have had Lions versus Ravens, but that script though.
Well, Lions versus Ravens. Okay, I'm going to leave it alone. Now, had the script really worked in the favor that it should have worked in, it would have been Lions Chiefs because it would have been first game, last game. You see what I'm saying? They opened up.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
The year with that game. And the Lions beat the Chiefs. So it would have been like, oh, you know, are the Lions going to beat the Chiefs again in the Super Bowl? Like that to me would have been a way better game than Lions, Ravens. They have nothing in common. They have nothing that correlates that the NFL loves to tell a story.
I can't say that, though. I can't say that. And I can't wait to talk about it, but I can't say that. I can't say that there's nothing there.
You make me crazy.
Yo, have you seen Usher on Club Shay Shay yet?
I've seen like when he was talking about what album he could like sing for the like 1 year straight, he was singing Confessions.
These are
my confessions. And I want to tell you, I know that whole entire album. I do. Okay. I used to listen to it on my CD player. What's some things called the iPods?
Let me tell you something. When Confessions came out, right? And I first heard it. I was like, yo, this is stratosphere. This is like different stratosphere, right? Yeah. This is an artist going from like, oh man, I really like Usher to like, this is iconic. And I felt in a moment, I was in somebody's car when they first dropped that joint because it was, yo, what's that? What's that little joint he do? Every time I was in LA, I was with my ex-girlfriend. Like that's how I started. Yeah. And when I heard it, I was like, yo, man, I was instantly hooked to that joint. So yeah, I'm all with that. Now, so they're going to give him all kind of, you say he's going to give him merch, right?
He's getting his own merchandise line for the NFL. Like, it's going to be pink and purple. You know, purple? You know I'm buying it. I don't even care how much it is. I got money in my savings account right now that I'm going to switch over to my check-ins. Hopefully it don't take 3 days to get there.
Don't Rihanna already got merch? Like, don't she got a whole clothing line?
Who?
Rihanna.
You know, I'm saying that they didn't do like a collaborative. I mean, some people though, like some of their VIP people did get like, unless I'm wrong, because when I was there, I didn't see anything like, and they're going to be selling his merch at the NFL Experience, which is a major thing that happens at the NFL. Mm-hmm. It happens that entire weekend you go, and it's an amazing, like I said, amazing experience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to post about it on PG Love Sports Lock Us Out because we can't talk about it here because somebody was hating on me about my Super Bowl experience. But if I would have seen something that said had Rihanna or something that was like Fenty, Tom, Super Bowl, blah, 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 I would have purchased it. But because I didn't see any of that, I didn't get that. And I've been to the last few Super Bowls. I didn't go to the one, Arizona?
Yeah, okay.
One of this one. I helped open up for the one in Atlanta, Super Bowl 53.
Okay.
And then I took a little break and I didn't go to Super Bowl then, but I went to Super Bowl when it was in Miami. And I got the little cute little hat from Miami. So I always get like a cute little hat and I try to get like some type of top or something because I can wear it.
Tell these people who you are, son. Like, they need to understand how much you're willing to do what it takes to get into the Super Bowl situation. You feel me? Like, I don't think people know that, and I think they need to know, even if it's just one. They need to know how you do what it takes to get into Super Bowl. Like,
so obviously, I'm the mastermind behind Pretty Girls of Sports. And last year, I literally launched Pretty Girls Love Sports. And I was like, I'm going to talk about sports. I'm going to make sports content. I'm going to create. And in order for me to do that, it's called positioning. I had to position myself to be where I wanted to be. I feel like, and I felt like me positioning myself was going to help me get the best of my experience. So I was like, girl, you better get some little extra coins and get yourself over there to Arizona. So you better get to Phoenix. And I got lucky because I had a person out there that was, out there for a personal job, and I was able to stay at the Airbnb. I got me a rental car when I got there, and actually I traveled from Vegas to Phoenix. It was a 4-hour drive because the rentals were way cheaper from Vegas than going to Phoenix. So I drove myself from Vegas to Phoenix, a little 4-hour drive, and then when I got there, I went to NFL Experience. I walked around the city of Phoenix. I went to different NFL events. I met a couple NFL players at that time. I didn't know how to really pitch myself. I just knew I was really cute, and I got into a lot of places that was for free. I seen Fabulous, even though he wasn't that fabulous, but I seen him and a few other people, and it was like, for NFL Super Bowl day, I went to the big NFL experience that was free, and obviously with the Chiefs and the Eagles, and it was such a great experience. I'm going to post my video, and I also have some content already posted on PG Love Sports, so check it out to see what stuff I do. Same thing with Pro Bowl. I love going to the Pro Bowl. Like how you love the mock draft, I love the Pro Bowl. And I made custom apparel, like my jacket that I wore for Pro Bowl 2022. I made that jacket. I made the shirt that had TJ Watt number on it. It was in pink. I wore these pink pleather pants, and I was dipping and doing it. So I really go to all ends because I feel like if I position myself consistently in the right places, I'm going to get to where I want to be. And that's just a part of manifestation. So you need to follow PG Love Sports because, as you see, I'm real about this. I'm not new to this. I'm new to this.
That's facts. And the first time I saw you, I saw one of your videos, I believe, was you were making a shirt. Like you were making, put out a video where you were making like some type of jersey, some type of thing. And I was like, yo, she really on this arts and crafts vibe. And she and she really about to make this shirt. And your whole video was you making the shirt. It was like you sped up some parts, right? But it was really cool by the end. So I was like, dope. Okay, cool. I see where she at with that. And yeah, I see how dedicated you are. You think you are very, very dedicated, and you are not new to this, apparently.
I mean, listen, I got a girl chasing her dreams. I got to chase it.
And I love it. I love it. I'm in full support of it. Yo.
Okay.
I really am.
Thank you. Thank you. And I can't wait till this year. This year, news. This year, PG Love Sports is going to be at the Super Bowl again, as I already stated. But this year, I'm on the volunteer host committee. So I'm going to be volunteering my time. And I'm hoping to get into a few other events with the NFL. I've put in for, we put in for the honors. I put in for the soul celebration that they do there. I'm going to be going to NFL Experience with my sister. And if I'm not, I'm not going to the actual game, but I will be at a watch party. So stay, get with me if you want to know, if you want to have Super Bowl content, because I'm literally going to be there from Wednesday to Sunday.
Shout out to PG Love Sports, man. if y'all ever wonder why we linked up with PG Love Sports, that'll be one answer for you, right? Because she on her grind like that all the time. That's real talk. Yo, yeah. I look at the situation and I'm like, yo, in this game, there's a guy who I'm so excited for and I can't wait to see, but I want to know how you feel about him. And it's Brock Purdy. Yeah. It's Brock Purdy.
I knew you so well.
Brock Purdy.
I mean, I feel like it can be, it's either going to be a really good situation for him or a really bad one. I feel like the Chiefs, though, are struggling a little bit on the offense. They keep winning like the last minute like at the last minute they're winning. But the last game for the 49ers, they were also kind of like a last minute had to come back from the comeback. They were down 21-7.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I thought they were done. I was like,
I turned the game off. I said, listen, I was at Clemson women's basketball, cheating on Clemson, watching the 49ers and the Lions, because y'all know I love me some Dan Campbell. I've been Dan Campbell down since I don't know, he got there. I've always loved me some Dan Campbell. So I'll never go against Dan Campbell because I really love him as a person, as a coach, whatever. So I was watching and I'm like, oh, the boys is balling. And I was like, whoa, but the 49ers are bang bang losing. Okay. And then after I left Clemson and I got home, I turned it back on and I was like, ooh, okay. And then I turned it off again. And then somebody called me, like, I can't believe they lost that game. Mm. I said, who lost? Who lost? And it was like the Lions. And I about fell out.
Yeah. I kept it straight. I just watched that game the whole time, right? And while I was watching it, I really felt those ebbs and flows. And I really so I think George Kittle was like, yo, you can't tell me momentum's not real. Because at one point the momentum was all with the Lions, and I'm talking about crazy momentum. It looked like they were using all this pent up energy from being out of this whole situation for like 60 years, however long it's been, yeah. Right? And they were like using all that to really fuse them, and they really were doing their thing. But they have a few cocky individuals on that team who maybe did a little bit too much, right?
They do. Yeah. I just feel like I've always felt this way about the Lions. They do not know how to finish games, in my opinion. They always, if you look at most of their losses, even from last season, and I'm really talking about last season, they always lose the game in the fourth quarter. They lose it. So it's like, I don't know what y'all doing at halftime. I don't know what it is. But it ain't, I don't know. So are you saying that you think the 49ers are going to win?
I can't say. No, because they haven't beat Mahomes. Yeah, they haven't beat Mahomes. So I can't say that I know for – okay, here's the thing. Here's the kicker. Kyle Shanahan has been so great all the time. But in these big games, twice so far that I've seen, he's faltered. And the first time we saw him falter was that big epic 28-3 comeback from the Patriots, right? And maybe his mind wasn't focused on the game or whatever, but he was up 28-3, right? And then they lost that game. Kyle Shanahan was at the helm for the offense for the Falcons when that happened, right? Now, that's a defensive thing, but it's also an offensive thing because you couldn't continue to score points. So that happened. We saw him again in a situation when he was coaching against the Chiefs the last time. That offense just didn't look the same when it mattered. So Kyle Shanahan, this is your challenge. Of course, it's on the players, right? Yeah. Right. But this is his challenge. Do you have the ability to really overcome this, you know, hiccup that's been in your record? I mean, you have a great coaching tree and everything else, right? But at the end of the day, man, are you going to be able to get over the hump coaching wise and, you know, lead your team to a Super Bowl victory? Here you go.
Yeah, Show me you can. I mean, he's going to have to show that he can, but on the flip side, this is going to be really hard because Andy Reid is a coaching man. He is a coaching man. Okay. Listen. Like that man, I don't know if he pulled it out the beard, out the mustache, if he have a hamburger at halftime, I don't know.
You didn't do that to my boy.
That man.
Yo. Why you mention that burger though? Why you mention that burger for my yo? Shout out to all big men out there, man. Andy Reid, hold it down, bro. Hey, white, black, indifferent, like no, man, not indifferent, but white, black, or whatever. Big men, hold it down, son. Hold it down, big man. You got it. Favorite coach.
He keeps them in it, no matter if they're losing or not. He keeps them in it. And the Chiefs know what it feels like to lose at a Super Bowl. So they don't ever want to feel that feeling again. And you can tell that they play a full, we talk about it all football season, especially with college. I'm going to say this and we're going to move on. But we talk about teams being able to play a full four quarters of football. And that's what they do. That's what they implement. They play four quarters, hands down. That's what they do. And it's like, they're excellent at it. Because if they can come back, if they can be, it don't matter if they're down by 28 points in the fourth quarter, some way, somehow, they're going to come back, they're going to tie it, or they're going to get a lead. And that's just what they do. So it's like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yo.
Before we dip, can I ask you about Mahomes and how you feel about his greatness? Like, if he's able to get this done, where does that put him?
I mean, he's already one of the greats, in my opinion. He can throw a touchdown pass in less than 15 seconds. I do feel like he's already really, really great, and he's only going to get better. That man played on a darn near broke ankle. I just feel like he has a certain level of just like fighter in him. And sometimes it gets washed out because, you know, some people say that, you know, he's not, you know, colored enough or whatever, but he has a different level of like competitor. He's a different type of competitor, in my opinion. And I feel like as he evolves, he gets better over time. Just like, I feel like I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but I'm saying just like Tom Brady got better over time, he's going to continue to get better over time, and he wants to get better. That's the difference. I don't think he knows he's good, but I don't think he's sitting tells himself like, I'm the greatest of all time. I'm the best. Like, I don't think he does that. I feel like because he evolved so much over time.
Listen, people can say what they want about his blackness, but that boy's daddy, very black. Like, yeah, probably black. One of the blackest I've seen. And
let's move along now. Let's move along.
I'm just saying, he's very black, so I vouch for his blackness.
Yeah. Oh, another thing, NFL honors. Like, I love this. I'm really trying to get me a seat at the NFL honors.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like we did put in for credentials. We'll see kind of how that plays out. But
But I also put in for a seat, like to be a seat filler. That was me. I
applied. Get in the building.
Get me in there. I'm about to go print off. I'm going to go print some PG Love Sports business cards and just like do the LeBron and just like toss them in the air and just let them, you know, again, I'm positioning myself. It will be nothing but greats in there. Greats, upcoming greats, like already greats, other athletes, like, you know, people, it's all type of people that go there, celebrities of all kind, athletes of all kind. Yeah, like the NFL honors is like where you want to be, and you get to dress up. Anything, I get to dress up. Yes. But anyway, so
if you ain't hustling like Dez, you are not trying. Straight up.
Just saying.
Wow. Okay.
But the NFL honors is like their annual thing where they give out all the awards, and we see a lot of greatness that come from these awards, and you get to see a lot of people who are actually doing a lot of community service, building up communities, advocacy, and all of that. And one of the biggest award of the night, in my opinion, and mostly everybody's opinion, is the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. But the NFL honors is on... It's on a Friday. It's on a Saturday. It's on one of them days right before.
I think it's that Saturday.
Yeah, right before the
Super Bowl. Yeah, right before the Pro Bowl. I don't know if it's before. I think it's this weekend.
No, it's definitely before the Super Bowl.
You think it's the night before the Super Bowl?
I don't know if it's the night before the Super Bowl, but
let's see. Yeah, it'll be next week. You're right. Right, next week.
Okay, it's February 8th. I know. Yep. Anyway, so the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, I'm going to read it from my phone because I want to get it right. So the nominees for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award, which recognizes a player commitment to making an impact off the field, there is going to be 32 outstanding men, so one from each team, and this is considered the NFL's most prestigious award. So if you get this, it's like, yeah, you even get the little, you see the statue there, you get that pin to your jersey, so you know a couple men that has it. Last year, Dak Prescott was the winner, so he has it stitched onto his jersey. And a lot of these men are doing a lot of different things in the community, building up their organizations, giving back hours, and all types of things. And there's going to be a $250,000 donation to their charity for whoever wins. And each nominee also receives funding to contribute. So I'm going to read the list really quick, and we're going to talk about it. So Arizona Cardinals, I don't even know how to pronounce everybody's name, but you're going to say it. We have Jonathan Ledbetter for the Atlanta Falcons. We have Bradley Peon. Baltimore Ravens is Raekwon Smith. Buffalo Bills, you have Deion Dawkins. Carolina Panthers is Bradley Bozeman. Chicago Bears is Justin Jones. Cincinnati Bengals is Ted Karras. Cleveland Browns, Anthony Walker Jr. Dallas Cowboys is DeMarcus Lawrence. Denver Broncos is Garrett Bowles. The Detroit Lions is Frank Ragnon. The Green Bay Packers is Devondre Campbell. That was a mouthful.
Yeah, now you got that one.
Okay.
Who's the Ragnow? The Ragnow was a little off in the Ledbetter, but you're doing good.
No, just listen. Just don't judge me. Indianapolis Colts, you have Zaire Franklin. Jacksonville Jaguars, you have Dewan Smoot. Kansas City Chiefs, you have Patrick Mahomes. Not surprised there, but he finally made the list, and that's great. Las Vegas Raiders, you have Max Crosby. Los Angeles Chargers, you have Derwin James Jr. Los Angeles Rams, you have Cooper Kupp. Miami Dolphins, Alec Ingold. Minnesota Vikings, Harrison Phillips. New England Patriots, Jonathan Jones. New Orleans Saints, Tyron.
Matthew.
The New York Giants is Saquon Barkley. Not surprised there. He finally made a list as well. The New York Jets, you have Solomon Thomas. Philadelphia Eagles, you have Lane Johnson. Pittsburgh Steelers, my guy, Cam Hayward, about seventh time being nominated for this award. San Francisco 49ers, you have Eric Armstead. Seattle Seahawks, Bobby Wagner. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you have Antoine Winfield Jr. And hopefully my computer don't die. For the Tennessee Titans, you have Jeffrey Simmons. And for the Washington Commanders, you have scary mother freaking Terry McLaurin. Whew. Now you take it over and talk about who you think is going to win.
Tyron Matthew. So I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to just go with the Saints.
I'm leaving because you knew what you did.
Listen, I had to do what I had to do. I'm gonna go with Tyron Matthew, and I'm gonna tell you why. When Tyron first came to New Orleans, here's what happened, yo. He came to New Orleans not just because he wanted to play for his home, town team, but he also wanted to actually have a impact on a community. When he signed with the team, he was like, I am coming here because I want to impact the community. I don't know if you remember what it was like when he was coming out of college, going into the NFL. People had him he had such a big impact at LSU. You thought that he would go really high in the draft. He didn't get drafted till the third round because of his issues. I mean, he had a whole lot of off the field issues, and Deion had to speak up for him. People had to, really counsel him. He actually, the Saints didn't even draft him because they didn't want to put him in a bad environment. This man has evolved so much. He's evolved so much to not only was he able to go, off and become a great NFL player, but now he's able to come back to the community he was, afraid to be in before because of the bad influences. But now he's coming to impact that community and change it in a positive way. He is the honey badger forever. But the man, Tyron Matthew, him coming in is a big, big deal. And him getting this award would be phenomenal. Him being nominated tells me so much about his story. I'm excited about him. I am excited about all these other big-time players who are big playmakers on the field, also making big impacts on their community. And there's a lot of guys who you mentioned here, but Tyron sticks out for me.
Yeah. So for me, I like that. I like the passion behind it. The most obvious answer would be Patrick Mahomes, right? Because he also was the last year's NFL MVP. But my brain is shooting off and telling me that Max Crosby is going to be, if he doesn't win, he at least will be probably like number two on that selection. He's done so much he's overcome so much, and he really likes to give back to the community. They all do, obviously, but he just gives back in a different way because of a lot of things that he faced as well. So I feel as though they kind of got the same impact. Bowles is his. He must be the Denver Broncos. I don't even know who that is. Who is that man? Who is he?
Yeah, it's Broncos. And look, right after that, he calls me a homer, but he's picking his guy.
Hey, I mean, I feel like we all got to pick our guy. I love Cam Hayward, and I would say Cam Hayward is going to win it. But Cam Hayward has been getting nominated. He's, like I said, it's the seventh time he's been there. So, I mean, he should win because he's been up there seven times. Okay? Clearly, he's supposed to be up there. But, you know, but we're going to move on to talk about some other awards that are going to be given during that time. NFL MVP award, and my camera is doing a little glitzy thing. I don't know what it's doing. Need to get it together. Like I said, last year Patrick Mahomes won it, and I think this year could be Purdy's chance.
Purdy? Yo, if they give this award to Brock Purdy, I'm going to lose it.
Nah, it really needs to go to Tua, though.
Okay, I can get with you on the Tua vibes, it would be hard pressed for me to see him overtake Lamar Jackson with the amount of impact that he had.
He is one of the top MVP nominees. That's if he's gonna show up. He might not show up. He's gonna give the award speech his house because he already ain't won a Pro Bowl.
So he's not going to the Pro Bowl because you know that may be too hard on him.
He opted out because he loves.
But I mean that's okay. But I'm looking at him as I mean a two-time MVP would be great for him. He deserves it.
Other people deserve it too. Anyway,
but who else would you give it to? If you give it to Tua,
Tua came back from being extra concussed, so he deserves.
Then give him comeback player of the year. Don't give him MVP because he came back from being concussed. Now, he was extra concussed.
Extra concussed.
That's fact. My man learned how to fall. Like, he was like, I got to learn how to fall.
I need to learn how to fight people off. Like,
But I'll give you that.
It would be deserving. I'm not even going to hate. I'm not even going to lie. It would be deserving. Offensive Rookie of the Year. Last year, it was Garrett Wilson. The New York Jets had double. Offensive and defensive rookie appearance. That was freaking amazing.
It was.
Offensive rookie of the year to me is going to be CJ Stroud. I mean, that's just what it's going to be.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we're in full agreement. I don't even think there's an argument there for anybody except for my boy Puka. Like, yo, this man Puka Nacua came into the league and really held it down when they didn't have a wide receiver. Cooper Kupp was gone, and he was holding it down by himself before Cooper came back. Puka Nacua has such an impact that if you drafted him this year at any of your fantasy teams, you probably won the league because Puka Nacua was that dude. So
I thought we said we had an argument for it.
Huh?
I thought we said we had an argument.
I did say that, but I was lying until I thought about Puka. Listen. I ain't think about Puka at first. Puka. That brother did such a phenomenal job.
He's still second best because you thought about him second. So he's second best. Anyway, next, moving on.
Puka.
We have Defensive Rookie of the Year. Last year, it was the main man himself, Sauce Gardner. It'll be nice if you put his picture up there, please. And thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. He was good. Looked good in that suit. Sauce, too much sauce. Defensive Rookie of the Year, who do you have?
It's tough for me because you look at what Houston's done. And, I mean, it'll be cool if you have back-to-back years where the offensive, Rookie of the Year and the Defensive Rookie of the Year both on the same team. So you can look at that. But if I hate to say this name because I don't want to, going into the draft, there was one guy who was going to be that dude. Could have been drafted first or second, right? But he fell all the way to, I think, about the 10th pick in the draft because he had some issues with his behavior. Talking about Jalen Carter. If you looked at Jalen Carter and you watched him play this year, you can see how dominant he was. And normally people at the defensive tackle position aren't that dominant. But he had a dominant year. So as I look at that young man, the Eagles were the best place for him to go because he had a big support system around him, and he thrived this year. So I'm going to go with Jalen Carter. If I had to kind of pick anybody, it would probably be Jalen Carter.
Well, if I got to pick anybody, is going to be nobody other than Joey Porter Jr. Period. Rookie cornerback coming in there doing his thug thizzle each and every game. I don't want to hear nothing about it. I listen to you say all this bull crap about poker. You went and did a whole thing.
Okay. Do your thing.
All I'm saying is you don't have to explain what's already understood. He came and did his thug thizzle. Period. The fact that he was holding down, no. Because not like I pull my hair back. The fact that he was holding down some of the best receivers in the league is crazy to me. He deserves to be on that list. I think Will Anderson might get. I think it's going to be another. It might be another offensive defensive rookie of the year sweep situation.
Yeah. Yeah,
but Joey Porter Jr. does need to be in that conversation because he held down some of the best in the league as a rookie. And most rookies come in, as we know, a lot of players come in their first year and are not doing outstanding things. Like, we're not talking about the team's record. We're not talking about any of those things. We're talking about each individual player's stats and performance on the field. Period. I said what I said. And we're going to move on to our next topic.
Look, I like what you said because – I didn't really think about Joey in that sense because, I don't like the Steelers. But Joey did hold it down, though. He really did. So I give you that.
Offensive player of the year, who you got? When you get mad compliments from veterans in the game, that's like, yo, like, you're going to be a piece of work. You're going to be one of them that continues to get even better over time. So, yeah.
They downplayed him going into the draft.
And right? Another one we just talked about, like how the Saints did Tyron, like it's the same thing. But except he didn't have behavior issues, but it's just the fact that they downplayed him a lot. He had a lot to show for, so he showed up and showed out every time that he was on the field. So
he really did. Offensive player of the year, who you got? Who you thinking?
So last year it was Justin Jefferson, and rightfully so, he definitely deserved that. Offensive player of the year. Let's see who offensive player of the year candidate. That was rookie of the year. You have Tyreek Hill, Lamar Jackson, CeeDee Lamb, Christian McCaffrey, and Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott should not be on this list. I don't
stop care. It.
I know stop who it. Should be on the list, and it's Dak Prescott.
Dak was good last year. He won Man of the Year. This year, it's time for him to. It's time for him to at least be in this conversation. He had a really great year offensively before we got to the playoffs. But CeeDee Lamb was otherworldly at times. Like, for real, for real. Like,
I can't lie.
For me, it's a debate between CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill, 1,799 receiving yards, 13 touchdowns, 112.4 yards per game. Those are stats on the year. Like, Tyreek Hill was a monster, like, for real. And he did a lot of that carrying it because Jalen Waddle did not have that great of a year this year. Waddle was not that dude most of the time. He was either hurt or missing. And so I love what Tyreek Hill did. He made Miami so dangerous offensively. Yeah, he did. Give me Tyreek Hill over CeeDee Lamb.
Every game they were talking about the Dolphins. Even when the Dolphins lost a few games, like, they still were just in conversation because Tyreek Hill was there, and that's who they really were talking about. So I do think that if anybody on that roster outside of CeeDee Lamb, then Tyreek Hill is the most deserving of that.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, and then we have what, defensive player of the year? Is that our last one?
No, we actually have I think that is our last one, defensive player of the year. I already know where you're going. I bet 20, I know what you're about to say.
You already know what I'm going to say, but don't interrupt me. Excuse me. Last year, Nick Bosa.
Go ahead.
good thing is his ASS ain't on the list this year. So defensive player, you have Deron Bland. Yeah, no. Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, and TJ Watt. If you know, you know. I'm not even. I'm dropping the mic on that. You're not telling me that the stats ain't stacking. Don't turn down for what? You better take over if I get excited. You know how I get about my boys.
Yo, at least
one of the Steelers have to win an award this year. Because
Cam probably won't win Man of the Year. Seven times. If you ain't won seven times before, sorry, brother. Now, if I look at this again, right, T.J. Watt, statistically, if it's the only defensive linemen who are available, then T.J. Watt running away, right? Running away with this thing. But if you talking about defense, you talk about impact players, you talk about something, the man who you kind of dismissed, the one who you put to the side because he wasn't spazzy enough, too bland for you, man, Deron Bland, 9 picks, 5 touchdowns. You tell me somebody like and he stepped in basically or stepped up, yeah, right? When, know, he stepped stat, up when the, Diggs wasn't there. Nine picks? Come
first
on.
First of all, the come stats on. Are the freaking stats. Okay.
What are we doing?
Yeah, what we doing? We're gonna agree to disagree. I don't care what you say. This how you stand by your man 100 grand. I'm standing by my man. You're not changing my mind. And
I stand by the Bland 100 grand, fam.
Well, go ahead and stand by Mr. Bland. But I do think that the Cowboys having a person in every single category is just crazy to me.
I mean, Jerry, they had a great year.
Man, the year, no matter how great it is, don't really matter if you can't get past, just like they say in Pittsburgh, we got to get past
y'all need a quarterback.
We made it, and I did a rain dance because the Lord knows I was over there. My boys had to get in.
Y'all don't need a quarterback?
No, we do. I'm not saying that we don't. We do need some offensive work. But see, you have if the team was so perfect in caliber as the Dallas Cowboys was supposed to be, it's no way they got their ass handed to them by the Green Bay Packers. I don't care how much Jordan Love was doing the thug this one, everybody else on that team was doing it. It ain't no way they should have got handed like that. But they did. So in my opinion, you as soon as all that happened, swipe off all the, you don't get no awards, bro.
You can't get no, it's a regular season award. And in a regular season, they were dominant. You going to tell me CeeDee Lamb don't deserve nothing?
Maybe CeeDee can stay there, but Dak Prescott is Dak Prescott is on Offensive Player of the Year, MVP. No.
Was he not spectacular throughout the course of the year?
He was not. He sucks on the road.
No, not in a
row. He sucks on the road, period. I don't want to hear it. You know, I don't hear it. We're gonna move on.
Not the postseason.
Do we got anybody else? Do we got anybody else?
Yo, so the other thing, and
Max
that I
wasn't. Max Crosby is a really good candidate, though. I do want to say he's a really amazing candidate on this list.
Okay, I give him that. Have you thought about it all? Comeback Player of the Year, like who could be that person?
You know what, Joe Flacco.
And we finally found common ground.
You say it ain't Moneybag Joe, then you just a hater.
Some people may say Hamlin, all right?
No.
Damar Hamlin. And now I'll tell you, he didn't have a stellar year on the field, and that's my only thing about it. But the fact that he came back, the fact that he came back and played, people were excited about that. And you know, he was on the brink of you know, probably one of the most devastating things that would ever happen in our lifetime, which is watching somebody lose their life on the field.
I can admit that, but as a player,
then he fumbled it.
He wasn't that great before he almost went out, and then when he came back, he still wasn't that great. So, in my opinion, no.
So
but the fact that Joe Flacco came off the couch and got them to the You better stop playing.
Yeah.
Joe, you can come over to Pittsburgh anytime.
You know what people don't know about us? We don't never agree on nothing. But we don't. But look at the colors of the show. This ain't what I wanted. No, <I'm just> but real talk, we agree on this.
After everybody who's listed here, though, too, Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, Tua, I don't feel like
Baker.
Baker did come back at the very tail end, but I feel as though it was just a little bit more. I feel like Joe Flacco just is a little bit more oomph to me, because it was like nobody was ever even thinking about this man coming from out of nowhere and doing what needed to be done.
That's facts. Baker may be – Baker, start to finish, though, has such a great run this year. He started off hot with the Bucs, and nobody expected that at all from him, especially what we saw in the preseason when they were showing him, overthrowing people and underthrowing people and doing all the stuff. We wrote him off, and he came in and really showed something early. He sustained it throughout, and then he got him a playoff win over the Eagles, who were favored to win it all. Like, man,
that was crazy, but does it amount for your
That's a story.
That will be another one of those really close things. But immediately when you say comeback player, I didn't even know Joe Flacco was on this list until I scrolled down. Immediately I was like, Joe Flacco. Because to me, when he came back, he lit up the league. So
he did.
You know.
He did.
Yeah. So any final thoughts about that? I feel like coach of the year is gonna be Dan Campbell. I'm just saying.
Yo, the voice is wilding. Drew Lock can't do it. Can't win with him. I can't give it to Drew Lock. I do love Drew Lock though. He's Drew Lock's a silent brother, real talk. But okay, cool. Final thoughts, man.
I feel like we got a lot of close races with these NFL honors. They already know who they selected. They don't really tell us like how the awards are selected or whatever. But it's gonna be a close race. I'm looking forward to, if I can't actually attend, I do like to tune in from time to time. I don't like to do all that extra. I always have somebody up there that hosts in. It's the Detroit Lions guy. What is his name? Super fan. Healy. Kill. Kill and Key. Yes!
Pill and Keith. PK.
I was about to say Kid and Play, child. Help me out. But he's, if I'm not mistaken, he is hosting the NFL Honors. So it's going to be okay.
Okay. He's an intelligent funny.
So you kind of got to like really be paying attention.
Are they both hosting?
No, just the one. Just the one that's the Detroit fan. Okay, Michael. Okay. That's his name, right? Michael?
Michael Key, right?
Yes. I wrote an article about him hosting. Okay.
He's funny, though. I can't front. He's funny.
Yeah, but again, he's one of those, like, you have to be paying attention to get it. But when you get it, you're dying. So...
Okay.
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's not outright say anything out his mouth. Cat Williams fight.
Yeah.
He should have had Cat Williams.
Nah, no way.
Set the league on fire. Nah, but for real, I'm really looking
telling everybody to... business. Yeah. I love Cat Williams though. He's funny as life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to NFL honors. I always am. I'm looking forward to Pro Bowl this upcoming weekend, always am. Super Bowl, not so much, but it's gonna be a great game. Senior Bowl, but
we'll be there.
Thoughts there. My final thoughts are going to be Dak Prescott better not win an award.
So you want him to leave that empty-handed, period. That's funny.
You already won man of the year last year, so.
Listen, he was the man of the regular season this year. But as we look at this week, we're headed to the Senior Bowl. This is our third year in a row covering the Senior Bowl. Last year, we covered the Senior Bowl. We had a pretty good team going down there the year before we covered it for our first time. But this year, we're going down for the third time. And this year, there's a ton of talent there, and I can't wait to talk about it. So when we get back here, next week, I'll break down what happened at the Senior Bowl and what I saw and who scouts were excited about, because that's why we go to the Senior Bowl. You want to know who people are talking about. What's the scuttlebutt, right?
Like, who our mock draft. So
yeah. So next year, are we doing the mock draft next week?
We can do it next week, or we can do it the week after. It don't matter.
Okay. Next week.
He loves the mock draft. So make sure that you are here. Yeah. Make sure you're liking, sharing, subscribing to MTMV Sports, to this YouTube page. Make sure you're following PG Love Sports. on all social media platforms. Stay tuned for what we have in store. We have a lot of content coming towards you guys. Thank you so much for always tuning in to see me, obviously. And we'll see you.
Wait, run it back. Hey, real talk. I was on our Instagram and we had like 14 likes in a row, right? And I'm like, yo, who's going crazy about MTV Sports right now? It was one guy who was liking all your content. He's just swipe.
I don't care about those other people. I only care about this. I mean,
look, that's apparently the statement he made. So I unfollowed him. All right, y'all. God bless.
If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. But anyway, thanks for spending this hour of pretty spectacularness. Till next time.
God bless.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand.